Okay, so that's with bacon, cheese, lettuce, tomato, grilled onions, ketchup, and hold the pickles.
You know what you like. You wouldn't order your burger just any way. Why should your sports talk be any different? With Chapters on the free Odyssey app, you can choose the topics that matter to you most. Whether it's reactions, matchup previews, injury updates, or team news, quickly find what you really care about. Your football talk, your way. Download the free Odyssey app and start listening today.
Yes, that line
forms on the right, babe.
Ha!
Not that Mackie. Mm-hmm.
Where is he?
Back in town.
Look out,
yeah.
Mackie is back.
Chris McMichael.
Sports Radio 101.9 FM.
The Fan.
WFAN.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. 202 on the Fan. Big Monocle here with you on this Tuesday morning. We got Jack with me on the other side. And we're rocking and rolling with you till 5 a.m. when the Warm Show comes your way. 888-808-1019. And it's done. It's just done, right? We talked about it last night. Or yesterday morning, however you put these overnights. I expected, especially the way they coached the game, especially the way Brian Daboll coached the game, the last game of the year against the Eagles, that he was coming back. It was announced this morning, just as I was ready to go to bed. I saw the missive, as we used to call him, from George Steinbrenner, or at least Mike did. We saw the missive from ownership and John Mara that Brian Daboll and Joe Shane are coming back. And you know, it's funny, because not only did I predict it, in many ways I want it. In many ways, I think it's what's best for the franchise. I mean, I could have been sold. They've been that bad. I wouldn't be screaming today if they let go of Brian Daboll and Joe Shane. It'd be hard to with this record that they've put together over the last 2 years. So it's kind of a, you know, it's one of those things where a lot of Giant fans probably wanted them both gone. But you could, you know, it's not an easy thing to decide. There's pros and cons. There's this and that. That's what a normal fan, what a host might sound like. But I got to tell you, coming out of listening to John Mara yesterday, the biggest problem I have is he sounded like he had no idea why he's doing what he's doing. That's the biggest problem I've had with this because, look, I think you can make a case to keep them. I believe he's never been given a quarterback. I believe in the last draft class. Some of the same things that John Mara said. But when you listen to John Mara, he sounds completely defeated. He sounds lost, and not mentally lost, just lost in the situation that he's in. And it sounds like clearly the main thing and maybe the only thing that kept certainly Brian Daboll, and possibly both him and Joe Shane, as still making decisions and still empowered by the New York Giants, is because John Mara doesn't know if he can make a hire and doesn't want to. And he's finally just saying, you know what? I can't give you a reason why, but I'm going to keep it because we can't continue to change. That's it. And if I were to talk to John Mara, and again, we're going to get into the different things here and the things he said and what moving forward the Giants should do in the quarterback position, everything. But what was jarring to me, and because we know the owner is the most important thing in the franchise. We could talk about the quarterback, the head coach, the GM, all of it's important. It starts with the owner of the New York Giants. And it sounds like he is so beaten down by the poor decisions he has made since stepping into ownership group as stepping into the owner after the passing of his father. And he hasn't made a single hire that has turned out to be a positive one. They've won Super Bowls, but Tom Coughlin was hired by his father. And it feels like these last few years that have been the worst, arguably, in the 100-year history of the New York Giants and coming off the worst year in the 100-year history of the New York Giants, that John Mara doesn't know how to handle the situation. And he's coming out and he's talking like a fan and he's being honest. And in many ways, I respect that. But there's an old adage of, you know, I'd rather be wrong than ignorant. And when he's speaking, he sounds like me. He sounds like you. He sounds like someone's like, well, listen, there's this. Like when he's asked the question about is the roster better the last 3 years? No, well, listen, I can't tell you the roster's better. Are you going in the right direction? Well, I think we're going to go in the right. I mean, I can't say we are going in the right direction because how can I? Like, you've got to be able to provide some confidence in the decision making of the franchise. And he came out today and made, or yesterday, and made it seem like here's what we're going with. And I'm not sure why, other than I don't want to do what you all want me to do. And I don't trust myself to go make a better hire. And at some point, I've got to just have faith in my instinct, believe in the guys I hired. They've given me just enough where I can talk about last year's draft class and all the rookies that have helped. I could talk about some of the free agent signings and the trade for Burns. And I could talk about, you know, the coach, one coach of the year. And certainly the players didn't give up. And the players still to this day, if you listen to the media, if you listen to their media sessions, rather, they're all talking positive about the coach. And I was listening to Tiki, and he was talking about, he was talking to the players for the prep for the game this week as he was on the broadcast call for the Giants-Eagles. And he said, sometimes you can tell when you ask about the coach and the players say, well, you know, that's my, not my decision. That's up to ownership. You know, I'm just the player on the team. That's the signal you get when players don't want to talk up their coach and aren't happy with it. And he got the opposite. Players, and in the their media sessions, happy Brian Daboll's coming back. Happy the regime's coming back. So I got, he's got just enough to point you in the right direction, or at least give you enough of a reason. And it's not good enough because the winning isn't there. Three wins this year is unacceptable. But he's got, I'm sorry, when I'm watching that press conference, it was up to him to give this fan base the reason to shed light into why he's doing what he's doing. And for me, it's, you can point to the quarterback position, and he said it. And Brian Daboll has never been given that quarterback to try and make this team function. And you see what happens when he can get some quarterback play. He did it his first year. He even was able to turn around, Tommy DeVito and get some wins late last year when the team wasn't playing as bad as it was this year, when they were respectable and got some wins. But John Mara gave you zero confidence. Zero confidence that he believes in what he's doing. And when we talk about Woody Johnson and we see what's going on there, it's a disaster. It's an absolute, I mean, it's just, it's worse than what the Giants situation is. If all the stories are true and everything, John Mara isn't, you know, completely making, you know, boneheaded decisions based on the idea that he's smarter than everybody else. But I needed a little bit of John Mara being confident in what he's doing. So that was the first takeaway before we get into the actual process of whether or not he has faith, because that's what it is. I mean, that, like, whether or not he has faith in these two guys is what's behind the whole decision. Now, I don't need him to go out and give a contract extension necessarily. And I understand when he's asked the question about, is this a long-term answer? If they draft a young quarterback, is this a long-term thing then? Because you don't want to change quarterbacks. And he says, well, I understand the question. I'm not going to answer the question. That's fine, because I totally believe that he will be. And I'm going to give you some of the answers right now that why I think I don't look at it the same way many people do. Like, I was listening to Evan and all the reports. Well, you got to have confidence in him. And, oh, he's going to be on the hot seat next year. And if they don't win games, clearly he said, I better be in a better mood next year at this time than I am now. And I'll tell you, I don't think that's very difficult to be in a better mood than next year. I don't think you have to go out and win 10 games to be in a better mood. I don't necessarily think the Giants are on a hot seat, or Brian Daboll and Joe Shane will be on the quote-unquote hot seat and have a playoff mandate, as some people are saying, or have some sort of win mandate. I don't think they will, and clearly Joe Shane doesn't. When Joe Shane's asked whether or not he has to make the playoffs, you couldn't say the word no faster than Joe Shane did in his press conference. But the first jarring thing to me before we get into all of that is John Mara, and whether or not because he doesn't want to lie to you, or whether or not he's a good liar or not, or whether he's just an honest guy, and I respect the hell out of John Mara. I do. I believe he is a solid owner who wants nothing more than the success of this franchise. It's his life. It's everything he wants. It's all he knows. He is desperate to get a winner in here. He's willing to do whatever it takes. I respect John Mara, but he has to come out in that press conference and at least show faith in the decision he's making, right or wrong. because it's left it up for debate and questions, because he's answering questions and honestly saying, I can't tell you we're headed in the right direction. Well, then why are you keeping them? I can't tell you the roster's any better. They haven't done, like, he came out and gave you nothing to make you feel confident in his thought of Shane and Dable and what they can do moving forward, other than I've tried it the other way of firing when I feel like this, and it hasn't worked. It's blown up in my face. Time after time, I've done this, and it's failed. So let's try and hold on and ride through and see if I can come out cleaner on the other side. Because there's really nothing else he said to give you confidence. And for me, I'd rather have the owner come out and be a little bit more confident than maybe he truly feels, to instill some confidence in the fan base that at least you have a direction and a steadfast belief in what you're doing. And John Mara didn't do anything to make me feel any better that it's the right direction, or that he even honestly believes it's the right direction. He's making decisions solely on the purpose of not wanting to make decisions, which is what a lot of the fan base fears. And while it might be honest, and I respect it, my jarring thing coming out of this is he doesn't know which end is up, and he has no problem telling us. And for a fan base that's dealt with everything over the last 8 years, that's hard to hear and hard to see. As we're dealing with Woody Johnson, and I'm not trying to compare them, but the inept ownership, I mean, it feels like right now, John Mara is a major problem inside the winning of this franchise, because he can't even make decisions and tell you he's confident in those decisions. That's step one. Whether this turns out to be the right move or wrong move, John Mara told you, I don't have confidence in this decision. I'm kicking the decision down the line because I don't feel like making it today. And that's not where you want to feel the owner is coming from. Now, to get to the specifics of what he said and the specifics of my problem with the decision, forget whether or not John Mara believes in it. We've already established that, and it bothers me and it scares me to my core that an owner is making decisions he doesn't believe in. But when he tells you that, when does this franchise need to win? Well, it better happen soon because I'm losing patience. Some of the answers clearly lead to the idea that there's not confidence, like I've been speaking about for the last 10 minutes. And that's my fear when I've talked about wanting Joe Shane and Brian Dable to stay, is if you are buying into this group moving forward, to me, it should be treated as hiring a new regime. It should be treated as, look, I'm giving them another chance at the rebuild, not giving them another chance to have a winning season. That's how I think if you're going to keep Shane and Dable, it should be treated as I'm giving them another chance to fix it. I'm not just giving them another chance to make me happy come December and January. I'm giving them another chance to fix it. And while some of the words he spoke indicate that that's not the case, I still think it is. Because to me, when he tells you he better be in a better mood than he is right now, I refuse to believe that John Mara, as confused as he sounded yesterday, is going to forget what happened at the beginning of Daniel Jones' career. Because if they do draft a young quarterback, and obviously he spoke about how the quarterback is the most important position, if they decide to draft a young quarterback, there is no way, I'm sorry, if this team drafts a young quarterback and Brian Dable shows you that he is developing that quarterback, if this team actually has some offensive production, because remember, this year's team offensively was terrible. They were averaging 14 points a game at home. They were, you know, as much as he wants to rail about the defense and tired about watching teams go up and down the field, that might be true. And Shane Bowen might not be long for this job, and that might be fair. And the defense was terrible. And the defense dealt with injuries. And the defense had young guys playing in the defensive backfield. And as bad as the defense was, this is about scoring points from an offensive coach. And if you draft a young quarterback, whether it be Ward, whether it be Sanders, whether it be someone else, and you show that this offense can score, that you are moving in the right direction offensively, and you've got a stud wide receiver now, and you've got an offensive line that you're going to have plenty of money in free agency. Like, if this plan could be moving forward, if Brian Daboll can show you next year, hey, I've got the young quarterback, and now we're going to be good at the salary cap because I didn't have to pay him $40, $50 million, the going rate of a veteran quarterback. I've got a young quarterback. I've shown within the first couple of this first season that I'm putting him in the right direction. We've scored some points. I'm going to be able now to put money into my defense, my offensive line, all over the place because I don't have to pay the young quarterback, even if they lose. Even if going into next year, which we've talked about, is a very difficult schedule, an impossible home schedule in particular, against a division now that has the young quarterback in Washington and changed their franchise, that has a good team in Philadelphia, and that honestly, despite this year being down for the Dallas Cowboys, with Dak Prescott and this team, they have typically been better than the New York Giants for sure. The Giants can't beat the Cowboys. So even though, I mean, the idea that they're going to win a lot of games next year when the division's very difficult and they don't play well against the division, plus what's going to be all the difficult home schedule. Like, I'm sorry. I don't know what John Mara is expecting. Like, that's what all of this, none of it plays into the idea of next year better be good. None of it plays into it. So even though he's saying it now, it's almost like he's in the moment. And in the moment, he's sick of the losing. So when he says, I better be in a better mood, because by no means did he say there's a playoff mandate. No, by no means did he say I need 10 wins. By no means did he say I need a winning season. He said, I better be in a better mood. And I promise you, if they get a young quarterback and they play better offensively and score points and show a relationship between that quarterback and Malik Nabers, and then have the ability to say, look, because we have the young quarterback, we have ability to spend money. And because of the losing, we might have a draft pick like this time next year, even if it's 5 or 6 wins. If you're able to turn to the owner and say, look, I have a young quarterback that I'm showing you I have promise and we've scored points. I've got a stud wide receiver. I've got a great left tackle. The offensive line is coming together. Even if they lose because the defense is bad. Even if they lose just because they're a young team and a bad schedule. Even if they lose because the quarterback makes mistakes late in games that cost them games against a tough schedule. I got a young quarterback. We have flexibility money-wise because we're not paying the quarterback. I'm going to have a top pick with the losing as well. I'm going to be able to spend money on my defense, spend money on my offensive line. I've got the stud wide receiver to go with him. Like, that's progress. And he's already done this with Daniel Jones and swapped coaches on a young kid who had a promising start to his career. He won't do it again. So even though I'm disappointed in John Mara's overall message and trying to reason with the fans and explain to the fans that he knows are probably mostly against this move, the lack of confidence he's shown now in his own decision-making, I still believe when you hear, I need to be in a better mood. This better turn around quickly. I'm losing patience. I think that you can answer those questions and you can satisfy what John Mara is feeling right now without having to go to the playoffs, without having to win 10 games. There is a pathway where this coach can show he's developing a young quarterback, that there's flexibility. Now, if they have a good draft class, like, they don't have to be a playoff team. They can't be the worst team in the league. They can't have 3 wins, understandably. But I don't think it takes turning the whole franchise around and play in 1 year and winning 10 to 11 games and making the playoffs next year to satisfy what John Mara is talking about. I honestly don't. And I think it can be a hell of a lot of an easier rebuild than a lot of people think, even if they don't win games because the schedule is so tough for the New York Giants next year, because they might have a young quarterback going through some growing pains. And I think once he made the decision to keep them, he's going to realize that it makes no sense to turn around and fire them 1 year into a young quarterback. Now, that's even if they get the young quarterback, which at the number 3 draft pick is not easy. The other thing I think a lot of fans were glad to hear is Joe Shane talking about not going to make big-time moves in self-preservation mode, that he doesn't, his quote, there's not going to be any Hail Marys to try and save my job. I'm going to build this in the right way. So whatever they do, they clearly need a quarterback. If they bring a veteran quarterback in here and get offensive production and show that they can score points from an offensive coach in Brian Daboll, I don't think it takes changing from... I don't think they need to show the same progress that Washington made in winning 12 games. I don't think they need to show some sort of unbelievable turnaround year one. I think they're, and I know it's year four, but it's year one to me. And that's how this owner should view it. And that's the main problem I have with what happened today, because it doesn't feel like that. It doesn't feel like he's looking at it as year one of this mulligan, as opposed to, I'll give them one more chance to win some games. Because that doesn't make any sense. And I honestly believe today, he's so confused. He's so upset with himself, with the franchise, with the losing, with his decision-making over the last few years, that all he can think about right now is trying to win some games. And all they have to do is show progress. And especially if they go get their young quarterback. So I don't know if it's self-preservation or just team preservation or just the idea of that's the best way to build a roster. But John Mara needs to show a hell of a lot more confidence in his decision-making. And if he's going to bring these guys back, you have to believe in them. And John Mara did not show me enough confidence moving forward. So I hope it's the right decision. I do believe he made the right call here. But if he's going to be quick to try and look for some quick fix, then it was a mistake, because the first 3 years did not put themselves in a position to make that in this 1 year. And you can say whether or not they should be able to, after 4 years, they should have this kind of team. They don't. And if you're looking for that, then today should have been a day where changes were made. And I still believe that John Mara sees it, despite the fact that today he spoke in many ways differently. I think when push comes to shove, as long as they show him that progress, as long as they get this quarterback, I believe Brian Daboll can give him enough and Joe Shane can give him enough to have belief moving forward. 888-808-1019. So we'll talk about the Giants and their decision-making and really the owner and his inability to instill confidence in his own thought process, which scared the hell out of me today. We'll get to the Jets and their coaching plans as they continue to add a myriad of names to the list of GMs and coaching candidates for their empty slots, as well as Aaron Rodgers. We could always talk that. A little baseball, too, is a possible Yankee move came out today. We also got some word on whether we could see Pete Alonso signing a short-term deal. So there's some baseball stuff to get to. We'll get to all of it here as we take it till 5 o'clock in the morning. 888-808-1019. McMonagle here with you on The Fan. We'll be right back with your calls next. Leave it up to the Giants. Not only do they make me upset when they win football games, but now even when they do something that I sort of agree with in bringing back Shane and Daboll, the owner does it in such a way and comes out and talks to the media in such a way that I've lost confidence in the idea, because he hasn't shown any. And that's really what... It's just, if you're going to do this, you have to show both confidence in Shane and Daboll and confidence in your own decision-making. Like, you have to come out, and I know this, I don't want him to lie to us. I'm not trying to say lie. But you have to come out and project more confidence in the decisions of the franchise. You have to. And Joe Shane does. I mean, that's what makes me laugh. I don't even know if I want to say laugh, but what makes me... What's funny about this thing is Joe Shane couldn't be more confident. He never wavered on the idea he wasn't coming back. No, he doesn't need he doesn't have a playoff mandate. Like, Joe Shane talks like he's entrenched in the organization. And then John Mara comes out, and yeah, he defends Shane more than Daboll for sure. He had nothing really to say about Daboll other than he won Coach of the Year, and that he likes the way he runs practices, and the team didn't quit on him. But Shane and Daboll feel confident, like they've been empowered by the organization, and John Mara comes out, and I don't know if he's trying to just show the fans that he's with them in their suffering, which I get. You don't want to seem that you don't care about the losing. I don't think John Mara has to sell that anymore. I think we all understand John Mara is affected by this and cares deeply about the winning and losing. I think we understand that. And I mean, from throwing the chair 2 years ago, whenever that was that a game against Atlanta? I want to say for some reason. But like, we understand. But if you're going to keep these guys, you have to show more faith in not only them, but your thought process in bringing them back. And I disagree with many. I was listening to the afternoon show. I disagree that there is some sort of mandate here. I understand how John Mara spoke. I think you can see progress with this team, because otherwise, why bring them back? Like, it doesn't make any sense. It really doesn't make any sense to bring them back unless you're going to show confidence in them. And I'm not saying the team, if they're this inept offensively, then of course they have to show progress. I don't know if it's necessarily in wins. I mean, they'll have to win more games than three. That, I mean, this is the most losses they've had in their history. So I almost expect them to fall into more wins than three, even with a tough schedule. But the offense was inept this season. They average 14 points a game. They have to get a quarterback in here. And once they do, whether it be a veteran or a young quarterback, I'm not saying the quarterback has to go out there and do what Jaden Daniels has done. That's all I'm saying. He has to go out there and play well and has to show you ability, has to show you that he's progressing and that he can run the offense and that Brian Daboll has done something with him from start to finish, no doubt. I don't think he has to go out there and turn the whole franchise around in one season. And I do believe that when John Mara looks at it, especially if they draft the young quarterback, which I think they have to try and find a way to do. I'm still of the, I understand that we're going to hear all these reports that Cam Ward and that Sanders are the only two quarterbacks even worth a first round pick, and that moving up for them is crazy. I don't think it is. And they clearly have done their work. Joe Shane talked about doing the work on Sanders and Cam Ward and the college guys today. If they believe in the quarterback, I don't think that's a Hail Mary. Not from three. If they were drafting eighth or ninth and moved up to one or two, that's a Hail Mary. Moving up from three, I don't know what you would have to give. I mean, I guess you could call it a Hail Mary if they give up, you know, two first-round picks to move up one slot. Then maybe that's a Hail Mary. But I don't think it's a Hail Mary if you believe in a quarterback to go get him and move up a spot, move up two spots in the draft. I don't think that's crazy. I don't think that classifies as some sort of self-preservation crazy Hail Mary move. And I think John Mara has learned from what he did to Daniel Jones. He said the Giants ruined him. They ruined him doing exactly this, giving him a first-year head coach and then moving on. They did exactly this. I was listening to Evan today, and he's like, it's proof that he'll do it again, or that he's done it, so he'll do it. It's also proof that he recognized it failed. I think that's why they're there, because he's recognized firing the coach every 2 years has failed him, so he's trying something new. And I wish he had more to say in why he was doing it other than that, and he really didn't. So I think the Giants did the right thing today. I just don't know if the owner did it for the right reasons.
He also just didn't sound like, if you heard his voice,
yeah.
he's
always very soft-spoken.
It's true. Yeah,
hear him.
Yeah,
I've been at remotes where and Mike has interviewed him, and I stood 5 feet away from him. I had no idea what he was saying.
Yeah, I mean, he's a very soft-spoken, like, literally a soft-spoken person, but like, if you heard him, he's just like, yeah, I don't, you don't sound happy
not at all.
No,
I mean, I don't expect him to sound happy, but he didn't sound, you're right, he sounded resigned to this, as almost as if he felt he had no choice. And I mean, he was very brutally honest.
Yeah.
And it doesn't instill any confidence in his decision making or that he has any faith in these two guys. But I still believe when push comes to shove, it's going to dawn on him that it doesn't make sense to do what he just did and then have a quick reaction to next year. I just don't. And I don't think it's as difficult to put him in a better mood than he is right now. I don't think that's a tough ask. I don't think that's like I think the team is actually in better standing. If you look at like I think if you get the quarterback, they'll be far better than this. 888-808-1019. Let's go to John in Huntington. What's on? Oh, what's up, John?
Hey, what's up, Greg? Just want to make a couple of quick points. So you hit on this before. Like, I'm a Bills fan, but I'm a big football fan. But bringing back Daboll, you got to give him 2 years now if you bring him back. Like, you can't.
There's a couple of different, like, if they get a if they take a flyer on like a 1 year veteran, or they bring in a Justin Fields, or they bring in a quarterback from outside as a veteran quarterback, and he can't make the offense work, and you know they win five six games, and the offense is putrid under Brian Daboll, then I think then he can be out. I think there are different scenarios where you have to give him faith. Yeah. Certainly, if they draft a young quarterback. If they bring in a young quarterback, then you got to give them years. I totally agree.
Yeah. And how do you don't think that, like, I don't think Minnesota is ever going to let Darnold go. But if, for whatever reason, the Giants have a shot, I think they have to go after that kid. And I'm not, you know, I throw out his first few years because he's as talented as anybody I've seen coming to the league for a while. And we knew that coming out of college. It just didn't click right away. And I think he's an absolute stud. And I think his rest of his career, he is going to be a top, you know, quarterback in the league. And that gives you the room then to draft a lockdown corner and improve your team dramatically in some other way like that. I don't know if that's an option or if you even think that that's a good idea.
Yeah.
And I also don't think – I think he gets too much credit for
– Josh Allen?
Yes, because Josh Allen's an absolute stud already. I think he helped him, and I don't think Josh Allen would ever tell you any different.
Yeah, well, I mean, but that's what I'm like. So, I don't – you know, he was unable to fix Daniel Jones. That's his fault. But so, like, when the coach can't get the quarterback to play well, it's never, well, the quarterback – just sucked. It was, well, and when the quarterback does great, it's, well, he was a stud. So, I mean, like, I'm just saying, like, Brian Daboll helped develop Josh Allen. He started terrible. He was really bad. He was a turnover machine. They transformed him and helped transform him. And obviously, he's more of a part of this than Daboll or any other coach would ever be. He's got to have the ability to do it. But he was part of the coaching group, the main component of the coaching group that took him from a bad first-year turnover machine project quarterback into one of the better quarterbacks in the league. He was part of that process, a major part of the process, and that's what made him plausible to get this job. I mean, he's never been given that chance. Even Slayton said it in his media session. You know, I think he deserves a chance to get his quarterback. That's what Slayton said. And I do think there's enough weapons here. I think Tracy's a good young back. Obviously, Malik Nabers is a stud. I think they've got a Pro Bowl left tackle. Like I don't think there's an inability for the team to be successful in some ways next year. Again, I don't put it at winning and losing. And I think the Giants have a pathway, especially if they get the young quarterback, to start this rebuild. And that's what, I guess, the frustrating thing coming out of yesterday was, it didn't sound like there's confidence in this decision and that there's confidence moving forward. Like, to me, this should be treated in some ways. Now, and again, there's ways where it falls on its face after this next year and you just move on. I totally agree. I'm not, you know, my guy Al is killing me on Twitter for being such a pro-Brian Daboll guy. I'm not being that much of a big pro-Brian Daboll guy. I said the same stuff. I said the exact same thing. And I was wrong, I guess, in that situation. I think they fired him way too early and we'll never find out. But I said the same stuff about Robert Saleh. The exact same thing. Now, he wasn't even an offensive coach. But I said, oh, everyone's killing Robert Saleh as the worst head coach in the league. You got to fire Robert Saleh. He's been given some of the worst quarterback play in the league. He was given a quarterback, and he's a defensive coordinator. He was given a quarterback in Zach Wilson that was awful. I found it difficult to make a final determination on what kind of head coach Robert Saleh is when he's had Zach Wilson and Tim Boyle and all the other disasters. You know, Mike White was the best quarterback he ever played with up until Aaron Rodgers the first couple of games this year. I'm not saying Brian Daboll is a guarantee to be a success. I don't know. And it's been bad the last 2 years. But if we remember, we were praising him for changing the franchise year one. He felt like the breath of fresh air that changed the franchise after the failures over and over again. 2 years of McAdoo. The last two years of Joe Judge, my goodness. The 2 years of Pat Shurmur that, looking back on it, maybe was a mistake to let go of Pat Shurmur in the development of Daniel Jones, and that's why I don't want to give him this opportunity to get his quarterback only to take it out from under him if we're not pleased with the amount of winning they're doing. Like, that doesn't make any sense to me. Just fire him now if you're not going to allow him to get a second chance at the rebuild. If you're not going to give Joe Shane a second, it's either a, hey, year one, they had a great year one. They showed me promise, and especially the head coach. The year one of the head coach and year three of the GM's draft have shown me enough here. There's circumstances with the quarterback. Year two, the quarterback got hurt. Year three, he didn't play well and had to punt on him because of the contract that we were forced to give him after year one. And because of all those things, and because I, you know, have failed so many times firing and firing and rehiring and firing, that I'm going to finally have faith in some guys I hired, and we're going to move forward and kind of rebuild again with this group and give them a second crack at it and give them and make sure they get their quarterback for this new mulligan of a rebuild. And that's what should be happening. Either fire him or do that. And instead, he's doing, in my mind, the worst-case scenario this side of splitting them up. It sounds like he's saying, I'm giving you another chance to have a winning season. And under the circumstances of next year, unless they go get a Sam Darnold, or unless they go get a very talented, you know, veteran quarterback, unless they go pick up Aaron Rodgers, or, you know, I don't even know who else. Kirk Cousins, and if he could be healthy second year removed from an Achilles injury, like, unless they go get a veteran quarterback, I don't expect a lot of winning next year. Unless they go get a very good veteran quarterback. Like, even if they bring in, you know, another guy from around the league. If they bring a young quarterback, like, the, you know, Milton played well for for New England. Or, obviously, there's a lot of talk about J.J. McCarthy, you know, trading him after Sam Darnold. Or maybe Sam Darnold loses this playoff game, and after playing poorly against Detroit, he becomes available. Like, if they bring in a really talented veteran quarterback, then okay, maybe you're expected to win. But if they start a process with a young quarterback, how can you move on from it after 1 year? And that's the major problem. And I thought that John Mara understood that, and I still feel like he will when push comes to shove. But he didn't give me any indication of that yesterday. And that's the biggest issue. It's either when you make a decision like this and you decide to keep two guys who have failed at such a level over the last 2 years, it's either full board, I'm giving them another chance at this, or you got to go. And it feels like John Mara tried to, walk the tightrope of, I believe in them and next year will be different. It's a very difficult sell. And he did it without any confidence. Alan in Missouri. What's up, Alan?
What's going on, Chris?
So, how are you, buddy?
I'm good. I know this is not going to be a very light quote that I'm going to say, but no one's saying anything about Rush. I believe Cooper Rush is contract here, right? I believe he's going to free agent next year. Now, I'm not saying he's going to be our franchise quarterback, but he's a well, solid backup quarterback, so he can groom our young rookie. And as far as moving up to the top two picks, Myles Garrett already wants out. Why not dangle Kayvon with two first-round picks and see if they bite? That's all I just have to say about it.
Kayvon Thibodeau and two first-round picks to move up one pick?
I mean, we need our quarterback, right?
Yeah, I think that's a two first-round. I mean, if you just mean swapping 2 and 3 and then giving another first-round pick, I'd be open to one first-round pick. I can't do two. Not to move up one slot. I don't know if I can. Because that's, you're offering the third overall pick. You're offering them arguably the best player in the draft if the two quarterbacks go 1-2. So that's the thing you're offering either Cleveland or Tennessee. Like, if you don't like these quarterbacks, I'm offering you a pick, and I'm offering you the ability to draft the best player in the draft because the two quarterbacks are going 1-2. That's the benefit of picking third. So from 3, I'm not offering crazy. I can't do that. And Joe Shane kind of told you he won't do that. And I believe Joe Shane when he says it. And what makes me, and that's the other part of this, I was going to do it, in another segment, but like the other thing that makes me confident that, Joe Shane is going to do this, because he could have stretched for a quarterback last year. He didn't. Like they had and I wish he would have. I wish he would have. And that's one of the bigger arguments against them right now is the idea that they passed on Penix and they passed on Bo Nix when both of them look like clear-cut quarterbacks that are going to be better than the pool they're picking from this year. I wish they would have stretched for a quarterback. But they doubled down on Malik Nabers. I understand why. He's an absolute stud and he's going to be a great player in this league. But I wish they would have stretched. But they needed their quarterback last year too, and they didn't stretch. And listening to, you get completely different vibes. Now, I don't know if it's just Joe Shane doing what I think John Mara should do and just exuding confidence, or his conversations with John Mara sound a hell of a lot different than what John Mara told the media because, I mean, Joe Shane is, and maybe I'll get some of the sound, Joe Shane is incredibly confident. Joe Shane is talking like he's not worried about his job at all. Do you have a playoff mandate? No, I don't playoff mandate. It's about progress. We didn't show any progress this year. We will next year. Were you ever worried about your job? No, I never wavered on my job. Like, why are you so confident and the owner can't say a damn nice thing about you other than this draft was pretty good? Like, the owner literally comes out and says, I know nobody agrees with this. He openly is saying no one agrees with keeping you. And yet, oh, no, I never worry for my job. No. Playoff mandate? No. You should hear, no. I talk to John all the time. Not playoff mandate. No, I'm good. I'm good. And John Mara's out there going, I don't know. They had some guys who helped us this year, I guess. The defense was terrible, but, we do have some young defensive backs now. No, I'm good. Like, it's just the organization, it's frustrating because, again, I'm not happy. Like, I think they did the right thing ultimately. I do. I still believe Shane and Dable can do this, and I want to give them the chance to get their young quarterback. But the organization just seems confused about it, which isn't good. That makes me think there's less of a chance of any of it working. I started this whole thing. Part of the reason I want to keep Joe Shane and Brian Daboll is I don't trust John Mara to make a good decision. So, and the way he spoke today and the way how confident the two guys feel, the coach and the GM, how confident they feel about their job, the inability to make me feel that the owner has any confidence in them makes me think that nothing would work. That it's not going to work keeping them. It wouldn't work picking another guy. Like, it just feels like the organization right now is a complete dysfunction and unable to make the right decision. It doesn't feel like a healthy place. And maybe that's why I'm so gung-ho on drafting the young quarterback, because there's nothing else that can turn a dysfunction franchise into a successful franchise faster and more efficiently than drafting the right quarterback. That's it. Nothing else can do it as well. Nothing else can do it as well. Hiring the right head coach, you could argue that, right? Hiring the right, if they could have brought Bill Belichick in here or if Vrabel would come take the job, maybe you could argue that. But for me, it's the young quarterback. Because I don't think Dan Quinn's a hell of a good coach. I don't think Dan Quinn's that good a coach. I don't. And yet, what's happened in Washington? D'Amico Ryans? I think he's a pretty good head coach, but do I think it's him or the quarterback? I think it's the quarterback. So, that's what's frustrating about the Giants organization right now. What's disappointing, even as I think they do the right thing. It just feels like John Mara has no faith in it, and they're completely locked into their, it just feels like a complete disconnect. But I'm telling you right now, I would be shocked. And if you think, I would rather fire them now than give them the young quarterback and fire them next year, which sounds like, I guess, a possibility. I can't imagine John Mara doing it, especially after they just did it to Daniel Jones. And John Mara took it so personally that they ruined Daniel Jones. Let's go to Juan in Dumont. What's up, Juan?
Hey, C-Mac. How you doing, man?
Good. How are you, buddy?
The voice. I'm good. Thanks, man. Just getting over a little cold here.
Yep. Or aren't we all?
So the whole thing with John Mara, right? Like, my son's a longtime Giants fan. I'm a Niner fan. I had a rough year, but the Giants have had it rough for a while, so yeah. I can't complain. Now, my thing is this. The more I hear and watch and observe things about the Giants organization, I do realize I'm starting to really pick up on the fact that John Mara might actually be the problem. And the reason why I say this, it started before, but I really picked up on it when Tommy DeVito started, when they decided to move on from Daniel Jones. I think that's when Tommy DeVito's first start. You started him over your $5 million backup, Drew Lock. And I'm like, yep. That doesn't make any sense to me. And I started, I'm like, all right, this guy's listening. This guy's about the fan base, which I can, as a fan, you can almost appreciate that.
You think John Mara was behind starting Tommy DeVito?
Well, I don't know who was, actually. I don't know who came to that decision. So Brian Daboll decided to do that.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
I think so. I don't think the owner was behind that. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe you're right. But I don't think there's any indication he would meddle at that level, especially at that point. Maybe because he was big on, Saquon Barkley being the most popular player. Maybe he felt like that would excite the fan base. But what's puzzling to me, and I think one of the questions that Brian Daboll has to answer, and I'm sorry, Juan, I'm up against the break there. That's part of the decision-making. Why would you start Tommy DeVito over the $5 million backup, and then when DeVito gets hurt, okay, you go to Locke, obviously, if DeVito's hurt. But then DeVito becomes healthy, and you don't go back to him. Like, it's either he was picked because he was the better player, or he wasn't. It wasn't like Drew Locke played. Drew Locke didn't play well until, and really only, in the Colt game. And he was great in that game. But, if you went to Tommy DeVito, the minute Tommy DeVito was healthy again, why wouldn't you go back to Tommy DeVito? There's a lot of things. By no means did Brian Daboll have a good year this year. There's a lot of things to question and wonder about how this team is held. And the other thing, too, that I'll get to, another thing that makes me feel like the owner is a little bit out to lunch and a little confused with what's going on. Another comment John Mara made. We'll get to that next. 888-808-1019. McMonagle here with you on The Fan. Quick break. Update. We'll come back with more of your calls on this Tuesday morning. McMonagle here with you on The Fan. Be right back.